You are tuned to Freak Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, 101.1 FM. And we have Caroline on the phone from San Francisco Liberation Radio. Caroline, you there?
Okay, I'm here.
How's it going today? So you guys got raided yesterday.
Yeah, we got raided yesterday about this time yesterday, maybe a little bit later. I got a phone call that was one of the people that lives in the building that the station was at, and they were calling me to say, you know, they're serving the warrant, get up here as fast as you can. And so I, you know, ran out the door, got on my bicycles, rode my bicycle as fast as I could. It was all uphill, and it was just like, oh, you know, and I got up there, and they wouldn't allow me on the premises, and there was between 20 to 25 agents of law enforcement, probably half San Francisco Police Department, half federal marshals, and about five or six FTC agents, and there's battering rams and pry bars and people in flak jackets, and I didn't know, like, they wouldn't tell me anything that was going on, and it was at my parents' house, so I was very concerned about my parents, of course, and then, you know, I see my mother coming through, being surrounded by federal marshals, drinking tea, and just kind of being like, okay, it's happening, and they went in through the apartment upstairs from the station.
So this is your parents' house?
Yeah.
Oh, and, okay.
The station was in the basement.
Okay, so there's a space in the basement for San Francisco Liberation Radio.
It had its own door, sort of a side entrance.
Okay.
And the first floor is an apartment that is unconnected to the station, and the woman doesn't have anything to do with it, and she rents. And they went in through her apartment and down through the stairwell in the inside of the building. And my mother is actually in the studio at the time, which was really good because she's dealt with these things before. And there was also the DJs were there, and they were there. It was like Sam Andrew, who's the guitar player for Big Brother and the Holding Company, and his wife, and they were interviewing a jazz singer, and they were all very, you know, like, oh my God, you know, surrounded by federal marshals. And they were allowed to leave, though, which is great. And they served the warrant, and they didn't actually give my mother a chance to really peruse the warrant before they filled the studio and secured the premises, you know, as they are wont to do.
Now, did they break in physically, or did they just knock and someone opened the door?
Someone opened the door. I don't exactly. They might have just opened the door. I think that
A lot of times they just force their way through and then tell you after the fact, oh, we have a warrant, you know.
Right. I think that actually the door might not have been locked into the first floor apartment.
Okay.
And so
let me lock our door right now.
Hmm?
I'm locking our door right now, making sure
it's
locked.
Yeah. Everything should be locked. I mean, it would have been a lot. I mean, but if they have a warrant, they're going to come in anyway. But at the same time, it's like gives you a little bit more legal play, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they just came right in, and the woman there was like, hey, what's going on? You know, and I said, we have a warrant. And so she played dumb, and she was actually really great. She was very cool about the whole thing. I went up to her and said, you know, how are you? How are you? Is everything okay? She said, oh, fine, whatever.
Was there anybody's name on the warrant, or was it just the address and arrest for the equipment, or like the
It was the address and the equipment. I don't think any. It might have been Charlotte and Jim Hatch, who are my parents and the owners of the building, because they were on. That was on the previous warning that we received with their names.
Right.
So maybe their names are on it. I didn't actually get. I don't have a copy here, but yeah, they came in. Mostly, it was outlining. You know, it's an arrest warrant for the equipment. It's a sort of a legal strategy that was developed for, like, smuggling ships at port, you know, ships full of drugs that basically if the law enforcement thinks that the contraband can get up and walk away, like if the ship could leave before they get there, or, you know, all the equipment could be just, like, whisked away, then they go and they get a secret warrant, which is they go, like, sort of behind closed doors and get a warrant for seizure. Or not for seizure. It's not the same as a search and seizure warrant. It is an arrest warrant, officially, for equipment instead of for people. So it says, like, you know, usually it says, like, you know, Andrew Smith versus the people of California or something like that.
Right.
Well, this one says the equipment associated with radio broadcasting from, you know, the address and then the frequency 93.7. So it's this really weird sort of law thing that allows them to go behind everybody's backs and sort of violate rights that seems like we should have.
Right.
You know, because we have an attorney. We have legal representation. Our attorney should be notified, but... Of course, they're afraid we'll whisk away the material.
So yeah. What equipment exactly did they take from the studio?
Mm.
What was it listed? Did they take everything on the list, or did they just decide to take, you know, the microwave oven and the TV as well?
They took all of the equipment that was associated with broadcasting. They didn't take any, like, of the... they didn't take anything that... In my mind, they shouldn't have taken. Like, they didn't take any of my parents' stuff or the lady upstairs' stuff. They sort of explored where, because we had DSL in the station that was networked throughout the house.
Mm-hmm.
And right before it happened, actually, we disconnected the computers, which was kind of weird that the timing went like that. But all the computers were disconnected from the DSL except for the station, which they would have taken any computer that was attached to the station.
Right.
And... They took, like, all of our, you know, we had beautiful turntables and a mixing board, and they took everything.
Did they take the music, the CDs and stuff that
are
in the station?
They didn't take the music. No, they didn't take the music, and they didn't take these really amazing speakers that we have that are, like, they look like paintings that are flat speakers. They didn't take those, which is great.
Interesting. But they took the computer that was in the station, too?
Mm-hmm.
So they
have
all the.
There's one for streaming and one for playing music off of and playing things off of the internet.
Do you guys record on your computer too?
What?
Do you record shows on your computer as well?
We archive shows, but we don't do that on the computer that was in the station. We do that on the server that hosts our web stream.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
So they came in and they took all this equipment. They have a U-Haul truck. I'm asking you these details so if I know to look for a rider or a
U-Haul
truck.
Right, no, they didn't have a U-Haul truck. They had most of them looked like private vehicles. Big trucks, yes, but like big Fords or big Chevys, and they had the
SUVs.
License plate said, what?
SUVs?
Not so much SUVs, mostly like, there was a couple SUVs, but mostly like trucks with camper shells that looked like they had equipment in them, you know, like equipment to do law enforcement stuff, maybe triangulate signals and things like that.
Okay.
But,
newer models? Newer models?
Yeah. Not brand new, but they looked like, I mean, honestly, they looked like some kind of, like they're big trucks that were not brand new and looked kind of dirty, but were they had a license plate. The license plate was the clincher. The license plate said U.S. government, and then it said FC-167 or FC some number.
167 FC. I remember that. I'm writing that down right now.
Yeah, the FC is the FCC.
And they had the regular government type plates with a little, what is it, a G or something?
No, they didn't have an E. Just instead of a state. You know how the most of them say, like, California. This one said U.S. government.
Okay. And the marshals, you saw them. Were they they'd have uniforms on or anything like that? Or
yeah. Almost everybody was wearing a uniform. The marshals definitely had, like, jackets that said U.S. marshals and bright yellow letters on the sleeve, on the back, on the front. The FCC, most of the FCC agents also had those jackets that said FCC agent.
Uh-huh.
Where can I get
one of those
jackets?
I've got to get one of those.
Can I make one? But they said FCC, except for the main guys that I think were on our case. Like, we've had almost a 10-year relationship with this guy, David Dune.
Really? David Dune? He originally visited us. Originally, like,
he visits you too?
Yeah, he was one of the first visits here. The first visit, I remember. I had to shoo him away.
Yeah, he's the main operative, I think, at the local enforcement office.
He's an Asian guy, right?
Yeah, Asian guy, kind of like hunched shoulders, sort of.
Okay. Yep, that's him. That's him.
So he's been on our case pretty much since the inception of the station 10 years ago, and so you know he was there, and we were kind of like, whoa, it must be crazy for him. You know, my mom actually said to him like, so this must feel kind of like, you know, closure after you've been, you know, we'll tell Richard Edmondson, who used to have the station, that you stopped by.
Uh-huh.
And but this happened, and he didn't say anything to that, but he sort of like nodded his head. So that was, yeah, those SEC agents were not in uniform. They were in kind of bizarre sort of jumpy outfits.
Did they say anything about busting other stations? Like, did they say they're, you know, that they're, I don't know. I don't think they would release that information, but just if someone said
no, they didn't talk almost at all.
Mm. Okay.
They refused to talk. We had several members of the press there, too, and they couldn't make statements to the press.
How long were they there? Until about
like
1?
Like 2.5 hours.
Okay.
Almost 3 hours.
Because you called the studio here at noon, 12 noon,
mm-hmm.
right before Democracy Now!, and I'm
right.
glad you did, because the news got out on that immediately.
Yeah. I was really glad that you guys could get us right on the air. I'm sorry that I couldn't talk longer, but it was... Yeah, I was making a lot of calls.
So they took the equipment, they left paperwork. Did you guys get a chance to review the paperwork? And did you talk to any lawyers?
We haven't had a chance to talk to any lawyers yet. We had a lawyer that came on the scene yesterday, right when it was happening, which was good, I think.
What did he do?
What?
What did he do?
You know, just like legal posturing, like went up to the U.S. Marshal, you know, to let them know that we were represented and to sort of like outline our case. I mean, once the raid starts, there's nothing, you know, that the lawyer can do to stop it, but
That's
it's just
true.
Kind of like letting them know that they're being scrutinized and letting them know that we have representation, and said that basically that we have applied twice for license, and last time they didn't even really notify us that we were not they didn't notify us either way, and that both of the reasons why we were denied a permit are now under question either in Congress or in the Supreme Court, and you know, so now is not the time, blah 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 blah, sort of these kinds of things. And she said yes, yeah, I know, but you know, and it's just kind of all legal posturing, basically, I think.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But I think it was helpful for, I mean, he seemed to know a lot of the marshals, actually. It was really kind of funny. The lawyer comes up like, oh, hi. Talk to the marshals, and they're all like, oh, hi, you know, saw you this morning.
One question is, did anybody get to say anything on the air when they're getting busted, or was it kind of like they're playing a CD at the time? And
I don't know. I think that somebody was talking on the air, but then we got a call from somebody who didn't know what was going on, so I kind of don't think that the announcement was made.
Interesting.
I wish that it had been, but
mm-hmm.
I wish that we had it on tape.
You do?
I mean, I wish that we had the actual
moment. Oh, wish you had it
on tape.
I understand.
But,
so
it's
they
possible.
Took,
he what?
They came in, they raided, and did you happen to talk to any of the FCC agents? I'm just curious if you had any interactions with them. Or
they
just the marshals?
Just the marshals mostly. The FCC agents wouldn't talk to us.
Now, was the San Francisco police involved?
Yes.
They were.
Which was really, because we just had this resolution passed in the city government.
And when was that? That was this year.
It probably passed in September.
Mm-hmm. 2003. Okay.
Hmm?
Okay. 2003.
Yeah, 2003. It was a unanimous decision by the city supervisors, which is basically the city council in San Francisco, and it was a unanimous decision that was supporting us in our long history of service to the San Francisco people, as well as you know, asking and instructing the police to not cooperate as much as possible, and also denouncing the FCC's recent rule relaxations and calling for Congress to make some action to increase media diversity and localism. But I kind of think that maybe they took it as a challenge because this happened so soon afterwards. But then there's this whole issue of Dick Cheney's speech and like the national come down on any kind of criticism against the war in Iraq, you know.
Mm-hmm.
like Dick Cheney recently, he hardly ever gives speeches, but recently he gave a speech that said that there will be no more criticism of the war in Iraq from the press. You know, basically it was kind of a veiled threat.
Criticism is killing soldiers. Somebody quoted that. I think it was Ashcroft or somebody said something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. And and then this happened right after that. I don't really think that there must be some link.
And tell us a little bit about the programming of San Francisco Liberation Radio, just so folks know.
Well, programming, we had a wide variety of programming. We had a lot of different programmers, probably like we maybe had about 50 different people who came on the air every week. And so there's a wide variety. There was a lot of local issues covered. We had a show, we had a lot of like local politics, like rent. We had a tenants union show, and we had a lot of different queer sort of interest shows. I think our big strong point was pretty strong anti-war sentiment, anti-globalism, like no WTO, no FTA, nothing like that, like sort of more political talk shows that were independently created. And we also played Dave Emery, who's a radio guy that's been doing a show investigating fascism and sort of ties between the Bush administration and the Nazi regime.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of, like, we played him fairly often and sort of making contact. We had a lot of political programming that was very critical of the Bush administration.
Yeah, that's interesting. You guys also did a lot of work with the independent media, San Francisco Independent Media Center, right, during some of the protests?
Yeah, and we definitely did do that. That was kind of a highlight of, like, the power of radio, if you ask me. Like, it was, there was sort of a situation, or, you know, San Francisco right after the war started was total mayhem. There was, like, protests going on, you know, at any given point at upwards of 20 to 25 intersections throughout downtown, blocking off different intersections, and then, you know, the protests would disperse and then reconvene at another intersection, and, you know, and there's, like, marches that were all going every direction, all down different streets and everything like that, and so it's very difficult, I think, to cover from sort of a standard news standpoint. You know, you couldn't have one anchor person standing on one corner knowing everything that was going on. So we had this really neat thing where the phone number to the Independent Media Center was disseminated throughout the protests, and people would call in from different locations and give updates as to what was going on and where they were, and we were broadcasting that whole stream. It was a web stream, and it was really neat because I was down there myself, and I overheard somebody say, like, oh, I found this on the radio. You know, I didn't know where to go, so I listened. I went to an internet cafe and got on San Francisco Liberation Radio web stream and found this protest. And nobody else had anything like that. Like, it was definitely right on the front lines. It was media for the people, by the people, angry protesting, you know.
Yeah, so maybe that has something to do with it as well. Some you guys been
I'm
doing
sorry?
A lot. Yeah, that might have something to do with the raid as well,
right?
Since you guys are another outlet there in San Francisco, and you also don't you stream on the internet as well, right?
Well, we did stream on the internet as well, and we had some contact with people in other nations. Like, actually, this is a really interesting aspect of it because, like, I mean, this is kind of an example of how fucked up our federal government is. Like, we, on one hand, are being, like, we've hosted people, like, there was a whole group of, like, 12 people from West African nations that were brought to us by the U.S. State Department. You know, the U.S. State Department hooked up these people. It was some weird, like, it's some program that basically the U.S. State Department hooks up people who are in different industries in developing, quote-unquote, developing nations with people in the U.S. that are basically like mom-and-pop stores or, you know, small radio stations, you know, so basically they hooked up people from West Africa to come to our station to see how just like a small community radio station does it. So in some respects, like, the U.S. State Department's showing us off, and then the FCC is busting our ass, you know? So where, like, what's happening? One side, and then we got an email recently. There was this woman who got our information again from the U.S. State Department that wanted to, you know, find out about community radio. And she's a visiting journalist from Kazakhstan or something, and she just got her information from the State Department. Isn't that weird?
Wow. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. I think that is, like, such a strange duality going on there, you know? It's like, okay, so if you want to show us off, then you should talk to your friends and get them off our ass, you know?
I had another question. Did San Francisco Liberation Radio ever try to get a low-power FM license, the legal license at all?
We tried twice to get a license, yeah.
Twice. So as the name San Francisco Liberation Radio?
Yeah, as the name. Both of the times we applied, we were at the previous location, which was out in the Richmond District. And we were denied the first time. And the second time, there was no notification of whether we were denied or accepted. And then it was not, and we didn't hear from them for years, actually, after that. That was in 2000, and we hadn't heard from them until July 2003 when they came and warned us this last time. So it had been about 3 years. We had applied, and we thought that maybe, like, we didn't know what had happened, you know, like the application went, and, you know, we know that they received it because we sent it certified mail, but we didn't know what had happened since then until we started getting legal counsel who went on the FCC website and could navigate the FCC website enough to actually find out that our application was denied on the basis that we had been broadcasting previously and that we were, there was no space on the dial for us, which is silly.
Hmm. Interesting. Once again, this is Skidmark Bob for Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3, 101.1 FM now as well. We're talking to Caroline, who is a programmer and organizer with San Francisco Liberation Radio. You can visit their website at www.liberationradio.net for more information. You could also visit...
Actually,
yes?
I have to interrupt you.
Okay.
We're having some issues with our website that there's, like, personal issues between one of our programmers and the person that's hosting our website has ceased us from being able to update our website.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
So information that we are going to post will be on the SF Indie Media website.
Okay.
And that's at sf.indiemedia.org. But hopefully we'll get our website back before tonight, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'm incensed that this happened at this time.
Okay. Well,
sorry,
hopefully this interview will be up there as well. It's
sf.indiemedia.
Yeah. That's indymedia.org. It's also at santacruz.indiemedia.org. And other information. There's also a good website, diymedia.net, which is the do-it-yourself media. And they put up a story about it yesterday as well. So, well, Caroline, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. How's the programmers, how's everything going? I don't know if you guys had an emergency meeting, and how's the general feeling? Probably pretty bummed, I would imagine.
I think it's kind of depressed. We are having an emergency meeting tonight at 7 p.m. But the people that I've talked to are all really pretty down, except for small, like, flashes of excitement about how much press we're getting and how much people are showing support and are interested, and that's really great. But at the same time, it's like this huge section of our lives that have just, you know, it's now gone. Like, the air is different. Like, the, you know, there's no radio wave.
Right. Wow.
But we have a thriving pirate radio community or micro radio community in San Francisco, so I'm hoping that that continues.
Well, Berkeley was raided not too long ago, and they got right back on the air.
And, yeah, in December.
They
were raided on my birthday, actually.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, we're batting down the hatches here on our ship, floating along here, and we're also broadcasting now at 101.1 FM because
great.
Of the Christian Air One station that decided to take 96.3, a little 10-watt transmitter that took off half our listeners, so we're getting them back little by little.
Okay.
Carolyn, any last thoughts about what's going on?
No, just keep on keeping on. This fight is not yet over.
Someone got a transmitter, started up a station. Then the idea spread right across the nation. Like the land and water, the air must be free. So let us shout together, fuck the FCC. Seize the airwaves, seize the time. 'Cause lying to the people is the real crime. When it's all owned by corporations and theirs is the only word, we will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard. We will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard.